Amen. Thank you, Leslie, Chad, and Wendy. I appreciate them so much, and I appreciate the song they just sang. You know, Christ is coming back soon, and very soon. He's coming again. Amen. And this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. I'm on a journey. My life's on the journey with the Lord Jesus Christ. I've been saved. I've been changed, sanctified, justified. And one day I'll be glorified in a glorified body. And for that, I'm grateful to the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's coming back for me. He's coming back for you. He's coming back for the ecclesia, the called out ones. And that's the church. He's coming back for His people, the saints, if you will. And so I hope that you're ready to meet Him. Open your Bibles today to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Some of you are not attending on Wednesday night, and I've been preaching through the book of 1 and 2 Thessalonians. And so when I got to chapter 2, I realized, boy, we need to talk about this. This is a subject that the Apostle Paul is dealing with, the subject of apostasy, and I'll talk more about that. The second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is all through 1 and 2 Thessalonians. So if you're interested in the end times, we've been talking about that on Wednesday night. So I appreciate so much the Wednesday night crowd. We have a group that comes on Wednesday nights at 6:30 where we open the Word and preach expositorily. That simply means verse by verse. Through the Bible, through the Word of God, and God's greatly blessing that. And so I wanted to preach on 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 in the month of June. The entire month of June is dedicated to the series entitled The Coming Apostasy. And so I started last week on message number 1 when I talked about the revealing of the great falling away, or if you will, the coming of the great falling away. So I want to continue that thought today on Father's Day. I want to continue that. And so we're talking today about the reality of a great falling away. And it's found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now, as I begin to teach on this today and preach on this subject as I started last Sunday, the reality of a great falling away. Now, that word apostasy in the Greek text, apostasia, which simply means a falling away, away from the stand. It's what the Greek terminology is, a stand away from. And that's what's happened. A lot of our people, a lot of professed Christians are drifting away from what they thought they had, if you will, a relationship which they haven't cultivated. So naturally, if you don't cultivate a relationship, if you don't work on that relationship, if you don't meet with the Lord, soon you'll fall away from it. And that's what's happened to a lot of people. It happened to me as a dad. When I was at Round Island Baptist Church, when I went there, I know it around, 11 or 12, I walked down the aisle during vacation Bible school. It was vacation Bible school, and me and my cousins were attending. We were drinking the Kool-Aid, and we were eating all the cookies, all right? Back then, that's all they had, Kool-Aid and cookies. And so we went there, and the preacher came by our pew. I'll never forget this. Brother Lynn Dozer came by our pew, and he looked at us and said, "Don't you boys want to be saved?" And "What are you going to say?" "No thanks, we'll pass." And so I'm 12 years old, and I said, "Well, yeah." And I really had. I mean, God was kind of stirring on my heart, and I really thought that. And so we walked down the aisle, and when all me and my cousins made a profession of faith. I'll never forget going to the baptismal pool. My cousins and I were laughing, and we were cutting up, and we, not even thinking then, but looking back, I really didn't get saved. I just got wet. I really did just get wet. And then around 16 or 17 years old, my mom took us to church, and about 16 or 17 years old, I was out of there. And I was old enough now, I didn't want to go to church. It was boring, boring, boring. I didn't like it. I didn't want to go there anymore, so I hung out with my dad. My dad and I didn't go then. And so my mother kept going, and I didn't go. And so I began to fall away. I mean, I went on the youth hay rides. Well, it was fun. I enjoyed that. I went out with the youth, went to these kind of conferences with the youth at 16 years old, but I got 16 and a half, 17, I quit. I quit going. What happened to me? What happened in my life? I began to fall away. I didn't want to go to Bible study. I didn't want to go to preaching. I didn't want to have anything to do with church. I didn't want anything to do with God anymore. So I began to fall away, fall away, fall away. And so here's what a lot of people would think. Well, he lost his salvation. No, I didn't. I never got it. All I had was religion. I went to church. I was in the youth group, but I never got saved. Matter of fact, I didn't get saved until I was 27 years old. And you can never convince me I'm not saved now. Hallelujah. I tell you, I got it. I'm in. Christ is in me. Amen? I know that for a fact. And so you may be 57, you may be 67, 87 years old, and you may think you're a Christian. But if you fell away, you need to do a checkup. Are you with God? Are you in God? Is God in you? Are you really related to the Lord Jesus Christ as a child of God? Or do you just have religion? Or you just got church membership or a baptismal certificate? What do you really have? Have you really fallen away? Or are you standing firm? Amen? So that's what I'm going to talk about today. So you need to understand what we're talking about. Judas was never a Christian. He looked like a Christian. He walked like a Christian. He acted like a Christian. But the Bible says Jesus said this, he was a devil from the start. But all the other side, they said, who is? Is it me? They didn't even think it was him. And so we got people in our churches that look like a Christian, smell like a Christian, walk like a Christian, talk like a Christian. But in reality, when you look deep inside, and that's what God does, I can't tell, but he can. He knows the wheat from the tares. And God says, listen, you never knew me. But Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we go to church in your name? Didn't we sing in the choir in your name? Sorry, I never knew you. I never knew you. And so this message and these messages in June are very powerful because I'm preaching right where America is. This is where the church of the 21st century really is. And so I want you to listen. I want us to learn. And I'm not here to make you comfortable or uncomfortable. That's not my role. My role here as your pastor is not to be popular or unpopular. My role is to preach the word in season, out of season, the whole counsel. And so that's what I'm going to be doing. And that's what I'm called to do. And that's why you call me here as a church, by the way. God called me, and you just affirmed that calling. And so I've been here over 22 years, and I believe God's using the word of God. It's never been about a church or a man. It's about God's word. And when you preach it, and you preach it true, God's blessed it. God's honored the word of God at Lindsay Lane. He really has. And so we're going to continue to preach that. So over the next few weeks, I'm going to talk today, part two, the reality of the great falling away. And then next week, I'm going to talk about the revealing of the Antichrist. You don't want to miss that message. The revealing of the Antichrist. There's someone coming on the scene. The Bible calls him the Antichrist. And so we're going to talk about that next Sunday, and then we're going to conclude with the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of this is coming from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. All right? So let's begin today. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. Now, brethren, he's speaking to the church concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the rapture. That's the parousia. Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together. There's that word, the rapture, comes from that word. The Greek text, parousia, it means gathering together to him. Now, the great and terrible day of the Lord is not this one. That's when we meet him in the air during the rapture. Paul taught us that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're going to meet him in the air. He's going to rapture up the church first. And then comes the great falling away, and then comes the great tribulation period, the seven-year tribulation period, after we're raptured up. I'm a pre-millennialist. Pre-tribulationist, and so that's what I believe the word teaches, all right? And so we're looking at this, and he's talking about that rapture in verse number 1. Then he comes to verse 2, not to be soon shaken in mind. They were terrified. They thought the day of the Lord is coming already. Not they thought he was coming back for judgment. All of the judgment was going to be poured out upon them. They thought it was here because they were suffering and being persecuted. And we talked about that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, or chapter 1. Now, look what he says in verse 2. Not to be soon shaken in your mind or troubled in your spirit. So you don't have to be troubled over that because it is coming. It's not he might come or he's thinking about coming back. He's coming back. But you don't have to be shaken. Why? If you're a Christian, you don't have to fear that. First of all, you're going to be raptured up. You're going to be with the Lord. And so he said, don't be troubled about that. Don't be shaken in your mind by word, what people are talking about, or by a letter. Somebody had sent a letter out. They thought it was from Paul. It wasn't. He said, don't be shaken by that or by the Spirit. He said, look at him, verse, as though the day of Christ had come. Had come. It hadn't come yet. Now look in verse 3. This is what I'm going to talk about today. Look in verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day, there it is. That's the tribulation time, coming of Christ. For that day, it's a period, not just one day, it's a period of time. For that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. And the man of sin, the man of destruction, the man of lawlessness is revealed, who is the son of perdition. That word perdition means destruction. He's the Antichrist. And he talks about that in the next verses after that. And we'll talk about that next Sunday, who the Antichrist is and who we think it is and all of that. All right? But today we're going to talk about this great falling away. So the Apostle Paul is addressing a doctrinal error. This is a doctrinal error that been made. They thought the day of the Lord had already come, that it was coming. So the Apostle Paul is addressing that. Now, you think about your position right now. What if you thought the day of the Lord or God was coming back, Jesus was coming back, and you really believed he was already coming, he was in the process, and he was coming back next week? You really believe that. What would you do? What would you change if you really believed that? See, and that's where they were. They really thought he was coming back in the next week. They'd already quit their jobs. They'd quit their jobs. They were just starting to prepare for the Lord coming back. And Paul says, don't be shook about this. Don't let it trouble you. There's got to be a great falling away first. And besides, the rapture will take place, the gathering together in verse 1. All of that's going to take place first before the great tribulation comes. And so that's where our text takes up. And we'll talk about that, all right? So let's look at this great falling away. Now, again, that word apostasy, and that's the title of this series, The Coming Apostasy, that word simply means there's going to be a great falling away. Now, I told you last Sunday, and I believe in my heart, that we are seeing signs of that great falling away even right now. And I know the great falling away is going to come after the rapture. We haven't been raptured up, have we? I hope I didn't miss it. Amen? I'm not. If it happened today, just think about this. It could happen any moment. This is reality. What if it happened today and all of us saints were raptured up and you were still sitting in your pew? You wouldn't get another shot at it. Today's your shot. Today's your opportunity to meet the Lord Jesus Christ. It really is. Behold, the day is a day of salvation right now. Now, think about this with me. When I'm studying the Bible and I'm reading the text, you know what helps me? To picture it. You know, I can just see Jesus talking at the Lord's Supper with all the disciples, and he says, one of you is going to betray me. And I can just see Jesus saying that, and they're looking at each other. John, is it you? James, is it you? Judas, is it you? Is it me, Lord? Is it me? And so I can see that, and I see this when Paul's preaching. I can see Paul preaching this. He said, there's coming a time. There's going to be a great falling away. And that simply means professed Christians or those who are religious, who think they're Christian, they're going to fall away. Because I'm telling you, this is the truth. Your faith will be tested. And when your faith is really tested, it'll show up if it's genuine or not. And you'll know when you see it. You'll know, hey, am I really saved or not? I mean, this is a test I'm going through. And so that word apostasy means that. And so before the great, terrible day of the Lord, the tribulation period, there's going to be a great falling away. And I believe we're seeing that in our nation today. Now, think back with me, those of you who are old as I am and older, young people, think about this. We've been deemed in America, one nation under God, big G, not any God, God Jehovah, the only God. We call our nation one nation under God. Now, who did that? Our forefathers did. That's the history of our nation. We were a God-fearing, Bible-believing nation, right? In our money, They even put on our money, "In God we trust." That was done by our forefathers. Those in our nation who were leaders of our nation who believed in God, you read all the history books. By the way, they're taking it out now. But you go back and read all of those who quoted, said, listen, you know, this is a great nation, like Abraham Lincoln and before him, George Washington. They talked about God. If you go to Washington, D.C., and you go around the nation's capital and the tundra and all that area, there's scripture everywhere. I mean, saturated with it. That's because our forefathers believed in God, that we were one nation under God. Now let me ask you a question. Has America fallen away? Are we falling away? Rapidly. Did y'all hear me? Rapidly. Rapidly are we falling away. We don't have the leadership we once had. We don't have God-fearing leaders in our Congress, in our representative, in our White House. We don't have it today the way we once did. And I'm not talking about one person or even a group of them. I'm talking about as a whole. And I'm going to tell you this. We don't have it in our church today. We don't have the leadership in our church we once had. We're not preaching the sermons we used to preach. We're preaching feel-goodism and drawing a crowd and all of that stuff. And so some things don't matter. I don't have a suit on today. Are y'all all right? You don't have to wear a suit to be saved. Hallelujah. And so some methods change. We're starting another service on August the 10th at 8:45. It's going to be band-led. Can I get a witness? We're going to still have the other one like you saw today. We're still going to have a choir and orchestra at 10:30. So we're changing some things. Yes, things change. But the Word of God never changes. I don't have the liberty to change it. I've been called to preach it. And, by the way, to live it. And so have you. And so we're seeing a great falling away from our nation and from the Word of God. We just really are. I'm getting texts and I'm getting emails that say things like, well, did you really know what the Greek means for this particular sin? The Greek means this. No, it doesn't. You want it to mean that. It doesn't mean that. Read it. Look it up. And so we're trying to change the word even. And so we can't do that. And so I'm just here to tell you today that we're seeing a great falling away. We really are. We're seeing some of these signs. Now, the Apostle Paul gives some others. That's what I want to talk about today in the rest of my time with you today. All right? Now, here's what I'm committed to. I want you to know this with all my heart. You know, I'm 3/4 of my way home. Now, I'm probably past 3/4, maybe 5/8, all right? But I'm 61 years old, and so I don't have a lot of time left. But I'm telling you one thing, the time I do have left, it's going to be counted for the Lord, amen? It really is. And so I don't have time for games and all of that, and you don't either. This is serious stuff. Church is serious stuff. Jesus is in the serious business. You talk about end time judgment, that's serious stuff. And so I'm going to be honest with you. I'm going to be open with you. You know me by now. If you've been here long enough, I'm transparent as you can get. Patsy says, can I get a witness? And my daughter's over there going, what are you going to say next? But I just believe, I don't have anything to hide. See, when I got saved in 1979, God stripped me. I'm telling you, He stripped me of all my pride. Of ever trying to hide this, hide that. Take the mask off. Be who I made you to be. Enjoy your salvation. Because you're going to spend eternity with me. Get to know me. And so that's what I'm trying to do. And so I'm going to be honest with you. You know, it reminds me of little Johnny, young people. You know, little Johnny, you know, he's a little rascal. I mean, there he is again. He's on the scene, isn't he? Little Johnny was trying to be honest and open. And matter of fact, he tried so hard, his first grade teacher asked the class, said, all right, class, what's your favorite animal? And little Johnny raised his hand, said, mine's fried chicken. Teacher said, little Johnny, that wasn't too funny. He said, well, why is everybody else laughing? And so he went home and told his parents about it. He told his teacher, and the principal. He said, my parents have always told me to tell the truth. Fried chicken is my favorite animal. So little Johnny went home, talked to his dad, told him what happened. His dad said, well, the teacher's probably a member of PETA and that they love animals very much. And little Johnny said, that's what I told her. I told her I love animals very much. I told her I love chicken, pork, and beef. I love animals. And his dad said, well, what did she say when you said that? He said, well, she sent me to the principal's office. I told him what happened. He laughed and told me, don't do that again. Next day in class, the teacher once again asked us what our favorite animal was. This time, I was a little cautious, little Johnny said. I said, mine is chicken. She said, chicken, why is that? He said, because I like to fry them. Yeah, she sent him to the principal. And he talked to him. He laughed and smiled. He firmly again said, don't respond like that anymore. So little Johnny went home, told his parents. Here's what he said. I just don't understand. You guys have taught me to be honest, but my teacher don't want me to be honest. In which his mama said, well, what do you mean, little Johnny? Little Johnny said, well, just like today. My teacher asked us today who our famous person that we admired. I said, Colonel Sanders. Guess where I am today? So sometimes when you try to be honest, people don't really like it. They don't like you being too honest, right? And so I just want to be honest. I want to talk to you about these falling away. See, Paul not only wrote 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, he wrote a lot of scripture about this subject of the coming apostasy, the great falling away. So I'm going to walk you through these five real quick, and then we'll go. Number one, in your outline, first we want to see a great deception. We're going to talk about this, a great deception. You know who the great deceiver is? Who is he? Satan. Satan is the great deceiver. He wants to deceive you. He wants to show you something that's not real, but make you think that it is. He wants to show you something that's wrong and make you think it's not really that wrong. That's how he deceives us. So he's a great deceiver. So turn with me to 1 Timothy. Turn to the right. You're in 2 Thessalonians. Turn to 1 Timothy and look at chapter 4. And I'd like to spend a lot of time on each one of these, but I don't have a lot of time, so I'm really going to have to touch them and go through and try to stay with me, okay? Verse number 1, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now the Spirit expressly or explicitly says that in the latter times, are you listening? Latter times, some will depart from the faith, falling away, apostasy. That's what that means. Some will depart from the faith, giving heed to discerning spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies in hypocrisy. Look at this. Having their own conscience seared with a hot iron. So what is he saying? What is he writing to Timothy? He said, in the last days, Timothy, there's going to be a lot of people depart from the faith. They're going to fall away. Why? Because their conscience is going to grow cold. Their conscience is going to get hardened. It's like being seared with a hot iron. And their conscience becomes hardened. Now think with me about this. In recent days, we're seeing so many mass killings. In Berkeley, California, we just saw one. This young boy goes in and just mows people down. Fort Hood, murder, just murdering. Cold-blooded, hard-hearted murdering. In the schools, Sandy Knott, guy walks in, kills these 5- and 6-year-old kids. Now, did you know since Sandy Nook, there's been 76 school slayings or school shootings? 76 since then. Now, what's happening? You're asking this question. I am too. What's going on? You know what we're calling it? By the way, if you notice the news, we always got an answer. We've always got somebody to blame. Oh, it's the gun. The gun's doing it. Bad gun. Bad gun. And so that's our rationale, folks. And then here's what we're doing. Here's the buzzword today. Here's what we're saying. Are y'all listening? Mental illness. They're mentally ill. They sure are. There are mentally, and I know there's mental illness. Don't write me an email. I know it. I know there's a such thing called mental illness. I know that. But I want to tell you something. There's also something called demonic spirit. And that's what we're seeing today. We're seeing Satan is unloading. He hates God. He hates God's people. He's unloading on us. And I'm telling you what, demonic spirit. I believe the boy in Berkeley was possessed by the devil. I believe the music he pumps into those little ear things and the videos that he watches and all of that stuff has a demonic spirit on you. You worship God. You stay with Jesus. You'll look like Jesus. You get in the world. You worship the world things. You'll start looking like the world and acting like the world. By the way, you hang out with the devil, yeah, you'll start acting like him. Go kill about 15 today. I hear voices. I must be mentally ill. No, you're demon possessed. Because you've opened up your home. You've opened up your ears. You've opened up your heart to satanic spirit. And he's come right in there. And now he's using you just like he's using me today. Or God's using me in the Holy Spirit. He uses others in demonic spirit. They're children of the devil. Now you may not believe that, but I'm telling you that's true. That is very true. And so we see a great falling away. I mean, we're just seeing little signs of it. It's going to get horrific in the great falling away after we're raptured out. I mean, people, you thought, oh, I thought old Joe was just a good old deacon Christian. No, Joe's lost as a ball in high weeds. He just looked like a Christian. He just acted like one. And then when the great falling away, you'll see the real Joe or Jane or whoever. And see, that's what I'm talking about. This great falling away. It's a great deception to say. He's seeing, it's like a hot iron. There's no fear. There's no remorse. Have you ever noticed that? There's no reverence for God. Listen to this great truth. The conscience is our moral faculty of perception. Once you start searing the conscience, anything goes. There's no conscience. These people are doing these things, no conscience. Been seared, if you will, been deceived by Satan. And so the conscience is our moral faculty of perception. It's our moral compass. Everybody has a conscience. You may not think it, but they do. Lost people have conscience. They've just been seared, right? Even Christians have a conscience. We call it the Holy Spirit. It's not our conscience. When you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes in. And that's my moral compass. I'm led by the Holy Spirit of God. He becomes my moral compass. And see, once you start searing that, once you start dulling, dumbing down, deceiving your own conscience, you're in trouble. You're headed for the great falling away. And that's what he's talking about here. Let me give you number two. Number two is perilous times. Oh, my word. Turn to 2 Timothy now. Paul's just writing this out. You know, he's got the same theme, but he's writing to Timothy the second letter. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and look in verse 1 through 5. But know this, that in the last days, here it is again, we're talking about the last days. Know this, Timothy, in the last days there's going to be perilous, perilous times, times of stress. They're going to be here. Now, he gives a litany of them in verses 2 through 5. He tells what these things are going to be like. Now, you think about the 21st century, where we live today, and I'm going to read it. You think about that. We live in the end times. They're going to be perilous times, the last days. Men will be lovers of themselves, narcissistic. Oh, we just love ourselves. You know how, I'm going to be here all day. You know how we do this? You know how we gauge ourselves now? By how many hits we get. By how many likes we get. Who's following me? Who likes me? Give me a hit. Give me a like. Follow me. It's about me. Adults were the same way. Check it out. We're in a society today, it's all about us. God has no room because we're falling away. And we're so narcissistic. Everything's about us. Our appearance, everything. We're so in love with self that that God can't get in edgeways. And you can just see it. It's happening. It's happening. We're lovers of self. I don't want to bring this message, but I got to tell us the truth. Perilous times are going to be the result of the great deception, his hand in glove. Great deception, perilous times. Look what he says, the lovers of self, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers. Hear it every time on the news now. Disobedient to parents, unthankful. We're entitled. By the way, do you hear them say thank you very much? You can give them $20, we'll walk away. Don't even say thank you. Because they expect it. Unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanders without self-control. Feels good, do it. Brutal. Brutal. We're seeing that on the news every night. Despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. You know what that could mean? Lovers of creation more than the Creator. We're just in love with this stuff. Having a form of godliness, here it is, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. There's no power. I was playing golf yesterday, and I had a guy, I was playing a little round robin deal, and I was playing with a guy, and had an interesting testimony, you know. By the way, when the preacher's out there, everybody's kind of nervous, you know. I'm nervous. I'm the preacher, and I'm nervous. Amen? And so he says, so you're a Baptist preacher? I said, yeah, I'm a Baptist preacher. He says, well, I was raised in another church. He says, it was all right, but it was really just, it was a lot of just creed reading, and, you know, we didn't carry a Bible. The guy stood up there. He read from the Bible, and we didn't even care. He said, you know, I just didn't get nothing out of it. I just really didn't. I just went. Everybody just went. And he says, then I joined a church in Birmingham. It wasn't a Baptist church. It was a non-denominational. And I joined this church. I said, man, that preacher preaches out of the Bible. I said, I take my Bible to church now, and I'm involved in one of those Sunday school classes, and I'm learning so much about the Word of God now. I never knew this stuff before. And I was just thinking, yeah, you just religious. You just going being religious. And now you're finding out it's personal relationship. So you can get personal with God. He got personal with you. You can get personal with Him. It's not just coming to church. It's not just religion. And so that's what he's talking about here. All this stuff that we're seeing today, and the social media is breeding narcissistic behavior. We've got to be careful. We really do got to be careful. I'm telling you. A form of godliness, but no power. He had a form of godliness, but he didn't have any power. No power. Let me ask you this. Do you have any power in your relationship with Christ? When you're in the crowd and something's going on, do they call on you? Because you can get in touch with God. Because, hey, there's Jane, there's Joe. Won't you pray for us? Why don't you lead us? Why don't you do this? Because they know something's different than you. You've got some power in your life. Amen? Not just a form of godliness, but power. You can, because Christ is in your life. All right? Now I'm going to ask a question. This may be three-parter. I can't help it. I got to deal with this stuff because it's coming. Now, young people, listen to you, Pastor. Now, I want you to listen to me. I want you to listen to this question. Here's what I'm going to ask. Let's just put on our thinking cap for a moment and ask this question. What if you were the devil? What if you were the devil and you hated God? Devil hates God, right? So you think with me. What if you were the devil and you wanted to get back at God and you hated Him? So what would you do? If you wanted to get to me, first of all, you'd come after Patsy. You know why? She's my bride. I'll tolerate a lot of things, but I'm going to get in the flesh. You mess with my bride. I'm going to get in the flesh with that. I probably will. I don't want to, but I think I would. But anyway, I'm going to pray through it. But anyway, you mess with my, and then you mess with Haley and Joe Dare, I'm coming after you. And then you mess with my grandkids, oh my word, I'm going to lay hands on somebody. I'm going to pray for you and bless you, and I'm going to lay hands on you. All in the Spirit of God, amen? I don't know what I'd do. We can say that. You ever say that? Somebody, I'll tell you what I'd do. And mommy, this policeman pulled these two guys over. This guy was just, acting a fool, speeding. The policeman goes up to him and says, he just walks over to the pastor's side and hit that guy with a billy club. The pastor. He said, what did you do that for? He said, I know what you'd say when you got down the road. You said, I wish you'd hit me. I wish you'd hit me like that. So he went ahead and hit him. And so, it is good stuff, but the thing with me, and I'm going to get through here, but I want to talk to you, this is very, very important. If you don't hear nothing else I'm saying, hear this. What if you were the devil, and you wanted to get back at God, destroy God, take him down, what would you do? If you're the devil, what would you do to get back at God and really hurt him? You know you can't destroy God. He's above you. You can't do anything to him, really. But hurt his church, his bride, or hurt his children? That's a good question. So what would I do if I were the devil and I wanted to hurt God real bad? What's some things I would do? I thought about that. Number one, I developed TV shows and movies that were raunchy, violent, vulgar, filled with sexual innuendos, and BR and X-rated. And I'd get his children to watch those things. And see, they would go to them and they'd say, well, it's a good movie. And I would implant in their ears and their minds and their hearts sexual stuff, vulgar words, brutality. And they'd all think it was just a movie, just going to see a movie. I'd implant that in them. And see what they're taking in, they don't even subconsciously realize it. And so I would have sex everywhere. And then I'd say this, well, it's just art. It's just art. No, it's pornography. Amen? It's sexual. It's wrong. It's deceiving. What else would I do? Are y'all listening? Here's the number one tool I believe Satan uses. But it's funny. But it's funny. It's hilarious. Here's my point. If I can get you to laugh at something that's real wrong and ugly and vile, you won't think that much about it because we're laughing. It's hilarious. It's hilarious. By the way, it's not rated R because it's funny. Remember that. It's not rated R because it was funny. It's rated R because it's vulgar. It's raunchy. But if you can get me to laugh about it, it's not that bad. I'll just laugh it off. You got to go see it. Oh, you got to go. It's hilarious. You've got to go see it. It's hilarious, man. And that's how I deceive the children. That's how I deceive God's saints. Get them laughing about stuff. And, you know, then they don't think much about that. You know, I was watching a program. My wife and I were watching TV two or three weeks ago, and I was just flipping the channels, and I noticed something that caught my eye, and I said, Patsy, come here. They had this guy on there who was, he'd been to Jerusalem. It was a 30-minute sitcom or hour, I don't know what it was. He'd been to Jerusalem, and he said, uh-oh, he's got God now. And he was just like he was a weirdo. They made him a weirdo. He was just going around, had a robe on, said, oh, come by y'all. And they said, oh, you know, let's take him to the hospital and see if he got the God gene. This is what they're watching. See if he got the God gene. There's a gene up there that you may get God. He's been over to Jerusalem. He's been exposed to the gene. And they made this guy just the weirdest dude. I'm telling you, he was a weirdo. And in the conversation, the whole thing was around this. Do you have God? Have you caught it? Have you got that gene? And the young guy said, I don't need God. What would I do with God? I don't need God. I'm intelligent. And see, we don't think much about it till we start, why, it's funny. They got a few laughs in there. And so if I could humor it down, you'd watch it. And you'd tell your friends, you got to go see it. It's hilarious. It's hilarious. And that's how, if I were the devil, I'd be doing some of that stuff. And then, you know, I'd get my favorite stars like Matthew McConaughey and Leonardo DiCaprio, and I'd make a movie called The Wolf of Wall Street, and I'd put it out there as a number one seller. By the way, it's not number one seller because lost people are watching it. He don't get number one just because lost people watch it. Christian. And by the way, The Wolf of Wall Street got two big actors in there. Hey, go see it. Man, Matthew McConaughey, he's awesome. He's awesome. Did you know in that movie the F word is used 506 times? 506 times the F-bomb is pumped into your mind and into your heart. It's no wonder we're using that word like it's just nothing now. Because we go to movies and get exposed to us, we're paying for it. Isn't the devil slick? We get it and pay for it. See, I'm thinking out loud, and some of you say, you know what? We've been numbed down and dulled. Because, by the way, they do put a lot of funny scenes in there, I hear. There's a, I love this line in there. I love this. What about the 506 F-bombs? If I were a Christian, if I were the devil, I'd portray Christians as foolish, bigots, intolerant, insensitive, out of touch with reality, and out of touch with the current times. I'd have TV movies like I'd already talked about. I'd do that. I'd raise up mainstream, are y'all listening? I'd raise up mainstream satire humanists like Bill Maher and like Dave Stewart and Kathy Griffin. I'd raise up these satire humanists. They're a little political too, but I'd raise them up and people would start watching. They'd laugh at them because they're funny. They'd laugh with us. And I'd get them to plant those seeds of deception within our heart. Bill, I told y'all last week, Bill Maher, quote, "How can Christians worship a God who is psychotic, a mass murderer, egotistic maniac?" End of quote. What would I do? Last thing, and I'll close. We won't get to 3 and 4. We'll just have to, I don't know what I'll do. Anyway, I got to close. I would use hobbies and luxuries on the weekends. And certainly I'd use sports to pull people away from church so they couldn't hear messages like this or attend Sunday schools with other Christians, talk about Jesus and the Word of God, and develop my relationship with Jesus Christ. I'd fall them away from that. I'd pull them away from that. I'd do whatever it takes to pull them away from that. Whether it's sports, weekends, travel ball, whatever it is, I'd use it to pull them out of there. I'd get them out there in the world. They would never hear Pastor Dusty's sermons and get in a Sunday school class and dynamic worship like we have. I'd try to get them away from that stuff. And I'll do whatever it takes to get them there. I'd deceive them. I'd blind them. And I'd keep them focused on the creation more than the Creator. Yeah, that's what I'd do. I believe that'd work. I believe that'd work. I believe it'd make a lot of them fall away. Father, thank you for the word. It's been a strong word. Lord, you know my heart. You know how I wrestled with delivering this message on Father's Day. The temptation would be to have a sermonette sort of thing on Father's Day and, you know, just feel good and everybody have a great day and go on. That was my temptation, and I had to wrestle with that, just being honest, as I said, and I did. But Lord, in my heart, I'm a dad. I'm a granddad. I'm a son of a dad. And Lord, I know mistakes that I've made. A lot of those things I just read in chapter 3 of Timothy, I did. I was narcissistic. I was a lover of self. It was all about me. I was a lover of money. Gambled, all kind of stuff to get it. I was a lover of pleasure. Every weekend. It didn't bother me to go to R-rated. I went to several X-rated movies. It didn't bother me. Oh, I was looking around, see if anybody knew was in there, but that's about it. And then I met Jesus. Through some difficult times, I met Jesus. And he changed my heart as a father. And as a grandfather. And now I'm just seeing these young couples come in this church, and they're so precious. They got these young kids, and they're everywhere. Little kids, Vacation Bible School, 400 children, they're everywhere. And dads and moms raising this generation. And I got to thinking about that. And I know I'm strong preaching. I get loud, long-winded. I know all of that, Lord. But God, you've called me to preach the truth. If I can make a difference in one heart and get one dad, one mom to listen and not fall away, it's what you've called me and raised me up to do. And so, Father, I just want to sit here right here before you, first of all, just me and you, and thank you for moving in my heart the way that you do. I don't apologize for the message. I know the difficulty of hearing it and preaching it, but I do know the results are out of this world. They're heavenly. We'll only listen and learn. Father, you didn't put us here not to have any fun, not to enjoy life. You've taught us to live the abundant life, enjoy it. But there's a limit. There's a guideline. There's a moral compass we've got to get a hold of. We don't need to fall away any further. So I'm preaching to help make a difference. Now I'm praying for your spirit to move and to draw us to you as only you can. So, Lord, I'm thanking you for the word today, and I trust you to with the results. Some need to come and be saved. Some need to come and join this church and be a part of this church. Some just need to come to this altar and just pray to you. Just like I'm doing right now, I pray they would come. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together. If you need to make any decision, I pray today would be your day. As we sing, as we give an invitation, Jesus said, come unto me. I pray you would come as we sing.
Come and fill our homes with your presence. You alone are worthy of our reverence. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve.